We turn to the Old Testament lesson for today. It's the first reading. It's from Isaiah 66, verses 18 to 24, right to the end of this very long Old Testament prophet. It's on page 5 and on to page 6. The Lord is speaking, "As for me, because of their works and their thoughts, the time is coming for me to gather people from all nations and all languages. They will come, and they will see my glory. Then I will set up a sign among them, and I will send out survivors from among them to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, to those who are archers, to Tubal and Javan, and to the distant coastlands, who have not heard my message and have not seen my glory. Then they will declare my glory among the nations. Then they will bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord. They will bring them on horses and chariots and wagons and mules and dromedaries to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, in the same way that the people of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel to the Lord's house. Even from among these people, I will take priests and Levites, says the Lord. For just as the new heavens and the new earth that I am making will remain standing before me, declares the Lord, in the same way your offspring and your name will stand. As often as one new moon follows another and one Sabbath follows another, all flesh will come to worship before me, says the Lord. They will go out and they will see the corpses of the ones who were rebelling against me, for their worm will not die and their fire will not be quenched, and all flesh will be horrified by them." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, direct our hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Amen. In the name of Him who loved us and has freed us from our sins, dearly, dear fellow redeemed. Would you be surprised if I told you that last verse isn't real popular with most Christians? It's actually skipped in a lot of these lectionary reading lists. In fact, it sounds so terrible, I guess, to Jewish rabbis that instead of reading the last verse of Isaiah, verse 24, they read verse 23 twice. It's called euphemism when you make it sound better than it actually is. Christians don't like that verse either. I find it very merciful that the Lord we'll put these verses in select places, like here at the end of Isaiah or the very last verse of the Old Testament in Malachi. Heard some this morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. They're scattered throughout scriptures. It's never in your face all at once, but it is certainly a gross and disgusting verse. And yet there it is. And the Lord says in His written word, put it in writing so no one would have to doubt this, do not add to my word and do not subtract from it. He wants us to hear what's called the whole counsel of God, all of it. But who's it for, really? Is that verse for us? This is hard truth. Hard truth on heaven. And it's from 700 years before Christ. Did you notice just in that? I hope you will by the end of this sermon, at least to see that it's the same Holy Spirit inspiring the whole Bible, same intelligence, divine intelligence. Nobody could write it this way. Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, is saying the same thing as our dear Lord Jesus says. In fact, here Jesus is speaking through the prophet, through the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, as for me, because of their works and their thoughts, the time is coming for me to gather people from all nations and all languages. They will come and they will see my glory. Can you hear echoes of Jesus' great commission in that? Matthew 28, last few verses. Jesus crucified and risen and about to ascend into heaven is saying to his disciples, in all your going, wherever you go, wherever you live, disciple all the ethnic groups, literal translation here, disciple all people, all the ethnic groups, all ages, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to literally guard and treasure all things as many as I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you all the days to the gathered goal of the age, when everything comes together in Christ. They will see my glory, all of them, whether they want to or not. So what's God's glory? God's glory is to love the ones that everybody else says cannot be loved, to forgive the ones that everybody else says cannot be forgiven, to forgive and save however he wants to. And if he, by his law, wants to put everything and everyone under sin so that he can have mercy on them all, that's his choice. And that's kind of what he's doing here. He's not leaving anybody out, especially not the church people. Get them all, he says. Tell them all, one and all. Then they will set up a sign among them, among those nations, and I will send out survivors from among them to the nations. These survivors from among those nations are you guys, the believing remnant. You trust in Jesus as your Savior, but let's face it, for most of us, here at least, our skin is the wrong color. Those weren't Anglos that were hearing this at first. They were at least brown, if not black, all the way down into Africa. Those guys way up in Northern Europe, you know, with their Nordic tans, right? Hardly any sun up there. They're the nations. They're the ones that are up in Tarshish, Pol, Lud, Tubal. These are just north, south, east, and west. We'll send messengers to tell the gospel to those guys so that they can also come back and spread God's glory as survivors, and to the distant coastlands. I love that one. Most of the time they translate to the distant islands. America may have been under more water back in those days. I mean, that's a debate that will go on. We can't tell. But distant coastlands does include the Americas, which at the time, 700 BC, had the Incas, the Mayas, and the Aztecs, but also all the other nations that have come since. Everybody's included. And those messengers are going everywhere to tell God's glory to the distant coastlands, and his glory is to love sinners. If you read Isaiah, and I hope you will, it's a long read, it's 66 chapters, but he's called the great evangelist of the Old Testament. It's sweet, sweet gospel. You remember that Christmas passage, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given? Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. Isaiah. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah. The Creator is speaking in this same chapter of Isaiah, way at the end of the book, where he says, my hand made all these things, so all these things came into existence, declares the Lord. Yet this is the person I will watch over, the one who is afflicted and whose spirit is crushed, the one who trembles at my word. That would be people who take God's word seriously. Tremble at his word. Believe him when he says, sin is sin and must be atoned for. Believe him when he says, sin has all been atoned for, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Oh, we're getting there. There's clues. Where's the door? He says, those who have not heard my message and have not seen my glory will hear, and then they will come and declare my glory among the nations. And then they will bring your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord. Bring your brothers. So these scattered nations of Gentiles, the non-Jews, will hear the message, believe in the Messiah of the Jews, trust God's word that says he came and fulfilled all the prophecies, hundreds of them. And these believing Gentiles will then proclaim the name so that Jews can hear it. Think of this. Your brothers, that's who he's talking to. Your brothers, your fellow Jews, will hear from these Gentiles. Read Romans 9, 10, and 11. That's where Paul goes into great detail as a former Jewish rabbi about how he just yearns to have his fellow Jews saved. I was thinking about neighbors we had when I was in campus ministry in Milwaukee in the Wisconsin Synod Campus Ministry House across from the UW-Milwaukee Union, and on the corner was the Missouri Synod Campus Ministry. Right between us was Mr. and Mrs. Alkali. He wore a yarmulke on Saturdays. Dear-hearted people. Gave Christmas presents to our family for so long. I'm sure it wasn't just us on our side, but the other side of where they lived were telling them too, this is your Messiah. I think of my friend Carl Rose, the big Santa Claus beard, and met him in St. Paul years ago, and just friendship there, and how often I tried to tell him, well, you know what Yom Kippur means? The Day of Atonement? I told him what his Old Testament scripture said about the coming Messiah, as long as I could. You have friends like that? Jewish friends? Dear friends like the man who sold me my briefcase that I come in and out with all the time, found out it was waterproof this week. It's pretty cool. But David teaches Jewish children in Hebrew, and he loves to talk about his faith. All these opportunities still there. God, open their hearts so that the brothers will come as an offering to the Lord. They will bring them on horses, chariots, all means of transportation. The same way the people of Israel bring an offering in clean vessels to the Lord's house, even from among these people I will take priests and Levites and so forth. So throughout the world, I get that question often all through my ministry. What about those people that haven't heard? Name one. That's my younger brother's question. Just name one. Because you know what? If you can name one, why aren't you telling them? This is our job now. You tell them. But interestingly enough, mercifully, the Lord's got it going like we wouldn't believe. So a friend, a relative, on a fishing trip deep into the Amazon jungle on the Rio Negro River came to a village where the villagers found out that he was a Christian. This is not even two or three decades ago. I mean, it's been said that all the Amazon jungle tribes have heard the gospel from evangelical missionaries. Many of them have rejected it, gone back to their spiritism, their animism, but they've heard. And this man found a whole village of Christians that were just excited to ask him to read from his English Bible while one of their villagers translated and interpreted. So he's reading and just trying really hard to remember everything he learned in catechism and what he learned in Bible class, because they're asking him questions and he's got to give them answers now, and they're just thrilled. They're so thrilled that when the time comes for him and his friends to leave, they all run down to the river and give him big hugs and say, we'll see you in heaven. One of the most remote places in the whole world. You know that most of the third world skip the landlines with the telephone poles that always blow down? They just went right to cell towers. You think the internet can continue to spread the word? We do, from these sermons at New Life, get contacts from all over the world. In fact, if you just would memorize the website, it's real hard, New Life Shoreview. That just happens to also be our YouTube channel, New Life Shoreview. You can tell people in 30 seconds, hey, Window to Heaven website, go listen. It's awesome. And they will be brought in clean vessels. Did you ever spend too much time in bed so that you can't take care of yourself and you just finally, with someone comes, a nurse or somebody with skillful hands and just cleans you up, and how good that feels? Or you've been hunting or fishing or camping a bit too long and you finally get that first shower? You know, you're not the only one who's happy. Everybody else who can smell you is happy too, right? You feel better, you smell better, and do you realize that the Lord loves the smell of clean? He put Jerusalem on a hill that's basically good for nothing, and it's not the highest, it doesn't have a river there, it's just at the center, the navel of the whole planet, as it's been called, and so that everybody would come north and south, east and west, and hear the gospel through his people, his chosen nation. And now he says that where he restricted the priests and the Levites, he removes the restriction for the non-Jews too, to come as those who pray for others, who speak to others, who work in the Lord's house as the Levite temple workers. And you, the Lord says, you who trust in me are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, God's treasured possessions, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Pastor, I don't know what to say. Really? You haven't thought for a while about how much God loves you, how merciful he is to you? Can you just tell your friends and loved ones, oh, Pastor, I just wish you were there. No, no, you don't want me there. Pastors open up and it's like a fire hose. They maybe need just drops of water from you, just a drop of water for the thirsty soul. And the Lord wants to make them clean deep down inside. The Holy Spirit reaches there with word and sacrament, baptism and Lord's Supper with the Holy Word, that gospel, and it cleans you deep inside, and it feels good. And you don't want to lose it. God doesn't want you to lose it. So he gives us some hard truth of heaven. He just said, I will take priests and Levites from among them. So, for just as the new heavens and the new earth that I am making will remain standing before me, declares the Lord, in the same way your offspring and your name will stand. Your name is your reputation. The Lord's name is his reputation. If your reputation has been attached to the Lord's reputation by the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, then all that is good about him has been put on you. All that is Christ and holiness and righteousness has been put on you. That's the good news. It's not an if or an and, you got to do this or that. It's just done. Remember what Jesus said? It is finished. And then he gave up his spirit to God. The Bible confirms what I'm saying. It's all over the place. Bible information class, that's why we have it. Dig into these things. See how sure and certain it is that your name and your offspring will stand as long as you trust in the Lord. As often as one new moon follows another and one Sabbath follows another, all flesh will come to worship before me, says the Lord. So, who's going in? The door is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. The apostles died proclaiming this fact. There is no salvation in anyone else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And the disciples who said that, Peter and John in particular, were beaten bloody by their fellow Jews for proclaiming Christ as crucified and risen. They thought they were rid of him. But he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He's alive today, ruling all things. And so he is, in fact, the Sabbath. Sabbath means rest. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. His commands are not burdensome, trusting in the Lord. Who will go in through that narrow door, as Jesus says? Those who come to worship before me. It's worshiping the Lord, thanking him for his mercy, thanking him for his grace. And they who worship me will go out and they will see the corpses of the ones who were rebelling against me. For their worm will not die, and their fire will not be quenched, and all flesh will be horrified by them. Those who were rebelling. Here's a description again from the beginning of this chapter. One slaughters an ox, also smites a person. One who sacrifices a lamb also breaks the neck of a dog. One who offers a grain offering also offers the blood of pigs. The Jewish people who thought Moses' law would save them, they weren't keeping it right. No one can. One who offers memorial incense also blesses a useless idol. And here's something more for us. So I myself will choose their punishments, and the things that terrify them I will bring to them, because I called and there was no one who answered. I spoke and they did not listen. They did what is evil in my eyes, and they chose things that do not please me. God put it in the scriptures what pleases him and what does not. And we're still obligated to call sin, sin. That includes all of mine that I don't want to see and don't want to hear about, but they're real. Because repentance is how we come through that door. It's a wonderful thing how the Lord gives us blessings of pastors to proclaim God's word to us, trained staff ministers or volunteers, highly skilled, some staff paid with their skills. But does that make you more first than last? It's a narrow door, Jesus says. The door is so narrow that you cannot enter with anything in your hand. If you come with position, pedigree, portfolio, or the lack of it in your poverty, you can't get through that door. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Jesus wrote his word through the Holy Spirit in the gospel lessons and in Isaiah for us, so that we would not lose the blessing. God bless you. He turned off his siren. God bless you. Always say a prayer when you hear the sirens. Not only for the first responders, but for the ones they're responding to, right? So what are you going to do with this? You know, the atheistic scientist is not listening. They're out to save the planet. They're not going to like it when you tell them they're too late. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He came not as a judge, but as a savior. He's just warning everybody that he will come again next time as a judge. But trusting in Jesus, you already know the verdict. You've already been judged. Not guilty. righteous with God by faith in Jesus. You and I have good news. And everybody that you know is in your world that needs to hear it. And they need to hear it from you. And God makes your personality just right for the ones that are there. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for saving even me, for saving all. Help us go. Help us speak. Help us trust when you say, open your mouth and I will fill it. Fill us, Lord, to overflowing. In Jesus' precious name, amen.